Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Danny Meringue.
Two empty bottles of a particularly decent Chateau Noir Bordeaux 57 in your rubbish.
Dusty Hera.
You went through my garbage?
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
I find it particularly offensive that you use them to wash down an order from something called Macho Taco.
And Portland's sports leader, 1080.
I would never drink a Bordeaux with a Macho Taco.
The Fan.
It was a burrito machissimo.
Out number two here on Danny and Dusty. Will Ortner in for Dusty here. Jeff Frost behind the glass. We appreciate you. Thank you for joining us on this wonderful, wonderful Monday. It is a championship recap Monday, as it were. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AMTheFan or Twitch.tv/1080AMTheFan. We appreciate you. We love you. Let's dive into the other side of this championship bracket, which, Dusty and I, when we were talking on Friday, like, hey, they're going to give us 6 points to take the Commanders? All right. They could have given us 60, and it might not have come close to covering. For the love of God, what an absolute demolition we saw the Philadelphia Eagles put on the Washington Commanders. This was a game that left no doubt. The Commanders come down. Nice little drive. You get a field goal to open the game, and you're like, okay, good start. Good start.
I'll tell you this. Jeff Schwartz tweeted it. I had a very similar thought. It felt the same as Notre Dame's opening drive against Ohio State. You had to get multiple fourth downs.
18 plays, 54 yards.
It took you 18 plays. You had to get multiple fourth downs just to get a field goal.
And now, granted, you weren't getting 9 carries from your quarterback on that opening drive. But.
Right. But Notre Dame, like, multiple fourth downs, you needed your quarterback, everything took up most of the first quarter. They actually found a way to get in the end zone. But it felt like the Commanders had to do everything to get into scoring position. That doesn't feel sustainable.
It's tough. It's tough.
It wasn't.
And then it's especially tough when the very first play from scrimmage, Saquon Barkley goes, whoop! And just houses a 60-yarder, shows you the speed, the power, the patience, the ability to read the hole, to get to the edge and just pull away, break tackles. You're not going to have, like, Bobby Wagner's not going to miss many tackles, but he gets caught in the wash right out of the gate, and you get a DB one-on-one with Saquon Barkley. You're not going to win that battle very often.
When you got the outside reached by Mailata there on the offensive line, so now it's Saquon. He just has to get his wide receiver in the right position to stay on that stock block for just a second, and then he's faster than everyone else. I mean, it's
just gears down and just boom.
And it's why a lot of people are saying he's the best free agency signing, obviously of this last year, but probably of the last five, because you mix a great running back talent who has great vision, great speed, and frankly, great strength to run through arm tackles, mix it with a great offensive line, which, remember, they weren't even at full strength at that point. They had a backup center in. They didn't have Cam Jurgens to start the game. He had to come back in later.
And they lost their guard.
They had Landon Dickerson in at center, because Jurgens has a bad back, so at that point, they're at as close to healthy as they can be. Dickerson, 3 drives later, he ends up taking a shot to the knee, and he has to come out, so then they have to play Jurgens. So, like, they weren't even at full strength of that offensive line, and they were still mauling the Commanders.
So you get the big play. The Commanders, they get the ball back, and I thought they responded really well through the first couple plays, and then Brown fumble. Eagles take it right down the field and score, and you went, okay, it's going to be one of those games. But my thought process was, hey, Banners can score. Like, if they're going to get into one of these games, we just saw this last week against the Lions, all right? Like, I'm talking myself into it at this point in time, right? And to the Eagles, or to the Commanders' credit, they do put something together. They get another field goal. And you're like, okay, not what you want, but points are being scored. Okay, right. You don't want to trade 3s for 6s, but okay. Then you get the stop, and you get what turns into a long Jake Elliott field goal, and he misses it. And you're going, hey, all right, we got ourselves a game because the Commanders come down, score a touchdown. It's 14-12. Ladies and gentlemen, that is as close as that game was going to get for the rest of the day.
That's, I mean, to be honest, the game ended on the fumble, on the kickoff. That's when it was over, because at that point, it's 12-14. The next time that Jaden Daniels touches the ball, you're down, what, 27-12?
Yes.
That's it. Like, yeah. That was it. Eagles drive down, score, you get the fumble, and if I remember correctly, that's the A.J. Brown fourth down. Big throw, big catch, yeah, when you needed it most. Mm-hmm. He goes and he gets it. And then Jalen Hurts, everyone thinking bum knee, comes out with the knee brace and then goes, nah, I don't need this thing. And I'm going to be just fine for three touchdowns. And none were bigger than those two that he had right there at the end of the half, right? Between him and Barkley. It ended the game, because by the time the Commanders finally could touch the ball again, it was over. They were in obvious passing situations. That Eagles defense was going to be able to dial up pressure, and the secondary was going to be able to have opportunities to go after balls. The Commanders just shot themselves in the foot time in and time again with turnovers. Obviously, you can't just say, well, throw the turnovers away and this is a close game, but every single time, and this is why the Eagles are in the Super Bowl and the Commanders are not, every time that the Commanders turned the ball over, the Eagles took advantage. Not only did they force the turnovers, which is huge for stops, but then they scored themselves every single time.
And boy, did they score. We haven't even talked about the numbers yet. For those that are living under a rock or for whatever reason want to relive how epic of a thrashing the Eagles, the tread marks they left on the Commanders, this is what it ended up looking like. 36 carries for 229 yards. That's a 6.4-yard average per carry on 36 carries, and an NFL record tying 7 rushing touchdowns. That record comes from the 1950s. So it is a literal NFL record. This is pre-merger.
This is pre-Super Bowl.
I mean, this what they did was incredible. The first pair of teammates to rush for 3 or more touchdowns each between Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley. I'm watching, you know, that game before the Blazers tip off. We're all in the media room, and we're watching that first quarter. And it was kind of funny. One of the Thunder photographers is like, "Hey, what if we all just agree that we're just going to watch this game and everybody writes the exact same thing for the game? Like, we're just all like, we can just gaslight all of basketball and be like, no, this is what happened, and we just sit in here and watch this game because we thought, okay, this is going to be a good game." And then we see Barkley rip off the 60-yarder, and then we see the fumble. And then we see another fumble, and you just see it falling apart for the Commanders. You're like, all right, let's go. Whole room packed up.
It's done.
And
we're good.
We went out to the floor like, yeah, this is going to be over with real quick. And it's really unfortunate for Jaden Daniels, because this game ended up being just the slacking that it was, because it wasn't Jaden Daniels' fault.
No, he's not the one. I mean, he's not the one who fumbled. He threw an interception, but
the game's over at that point in time, though. I mean, it's over.
It was great. Honestly, I thought it was a great job by the special teams and defense of the Eagles to every single
the
time they had an opportunity.
The peanut punch was on display.
Well, and every single time they had an opportunity, they were going after it. Did it work every single time? No, but
but it also didn't lead into broken tackles and plays that turn into, like, those, when you miss those plays, because
it can lead to a big play for the other team. It's a high risk, high reward type of situation.
They clearly saw something that said, because the Eagles haven't done this all season. They forced turnovers,
right,
but they haven't been this aggressive. Clearly in the film study, they were like, look, Eckler doesn't protect the ball. Brown doesn't protect the ball. Like, so many of these guys, they don't, like, Terry's the only one who's going to protect the ball. And if it's literally anyone else, go for that thing. Go for it. We want the exciting whites, Blankenship and DeJean, were absolute terrorists in the screen game. And they got there, blew it up, and the second guy came in over and over and over again, swinging after the ball.
Well, you see why Cooper DeJean was so like highly touted coming out of college.
Even after the ACL.
Every single screen pass that was ran at him, he defeated the blocks. And we used to have a saying, and I'm going to clean it up because one of the words you can't use. But when it comes to cornerbacks, we used to say there are 304 cornerbacks in D2 football. 302 of them are gigantic.
Yeah.
Right? And the reason we say that is because they want to cover.
They don't want to hit.
They don't want to tackle. No. They don't want to take on blocks. No. And that's why screen passes and bubble screens and
that's why they
screens,
work.
They work so well because the corner sees it and is like, man, I'm going to turn that one down. Or I'm going to dive at your ankles.
Dive at the ankles.
And if you can make him miss, now you have a big gain. When you do that to Cooper DeJean, Cooper DeJean attacks the blocker. Mm-hmm. And he goes through him. And a lot of times, the dirty little secret about wide receivers, too, they also don't want to block.
They don't want to block, which is why when you have wide receivers that want to block,
it's why
they matter so much.
It's why it's such a big deal. Mm-hmm. And when you have a DB going up against someone who wants to block in someone like, oh, I don't know, A.J. Brown, he's going to win most of those battles. When it's Cooper DeJean going up against De'Ami Brown, he's going to win that. No offense to De'Ami Brown. He's smaller, and he doesn't really want to block. And so I was just very impressed with the defense of the Eagles, and it was in a completely different way than they were impressive against the Rams. Against the Rams, they were impressive because Jalen Carter just decided he was going to be better than everyone. And so you assumed, hey, Jalen Carter is going to be better than everyone. The best O-lineman in Cosme for the Commanders, he's out, and he's the guy that's supposed to block Jalen Carter. Well, Jalen Carter will just dominate him. And he really didn't. Like, he made good plays, but it wasn't like he was out there completely changing the game. The game was changed by the secondary of the Eagles in this one. They were able to go and make plays and stop bubble screens. They were able to stop the tunnel screens. They got an interception, and they forced fumbles, and they punched at the ball every single freaking time that they could. It was very impressive from the Eagles' defense. That's why it was a
blowout. And that's why you had three fumbles that went the way of the Eagles. Mm-hmm. Coming up next, let's talk about the greatness of Frankie Louvu and why he's the he's the hero of the weekend. I will take no other answers. Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. Look, this game may have been absolute abject disaster piece for the Commanders, but there's one glorious thing that came out of this, and that is Frankie Louvu will not stand for the tush push.
I like that in my head, what I assume Frankie Louvu was thinking was like, I'm going to be on the coolest YouTube Twitter highlight thing of all time. It's going to be me and Troy Polamalu and Cam Chancellor, and it's going to be awesome.
See, I love that's where your 27-year-old brain went. My 40-year-old brain went grumpy old man of like, I will not stand for this anymore. You are not going to do this nonsense. I will not allow this to happen. And it was one of those situations where it reminded me of the Texas-Ohio State game when Ohio State just gets getting pass interference. And I'm like, if you're Texas, keep throwing the ball. Keep throwing the ball. Just screw it. And if you're Ohio State, keep grabbing because you clearly can't hang. And then they ended up trying to run the toss and it doesn't work in their favor, blah, blah, blah. But I wanted Frankie Louvu to keep jumping over the pile.
I love that the officials just got to the point where they're like, if you do it again, I'm giving them a touchdown.
And that's exactly it. Jeff Rust, can we hear from our glorious official who decided he wanted to rain on the parade?
Encroachment, defense number 4. Washington has been warned that if that foul is intentionally done again, it will be an unsportsmanlike conduct foul. For now, it's half the distance to the goal, and it's still second down.
Okay, that's our first warning, okay? Here's the thing. After this first warning, or the play before the first warning, the Eagles were 100% not going to snap the ball. You could see it. You know this when you know, yeah. Like, hey,
the guys on the edges.
We are hard counting. We are not snapping the ball. It's like the gain is half the distance, which is like 4 inches at this point. It's like it doesn't matter.
That can be a big deal, though.
No. I hear it's got to be at least 5. But there's this, you can see the entire offensive line, everyone, no one moves at all. They're very clearly trying to do this. And they're saying that Louvu's doing this intentionally. No, he's trying to time a snap and blow up a play that nobody's been able to blow up.
Right. Well, I mean, he's doing it intentionally. He's just trying to make a play. And you can see it even on the last one. He tried to do it. He just backed himself way up and he didn't get there.
No. And then we get it happens one more time, and Jeff Russ, what do we get?
Approachment, defense number 93. Washington has been advised that at some point the referee can award a score if this type of behavior happens again. For now, it's a replay of second down.
Huckley.
Which is very dumb. We can award a score for a team that refuses to run a play because it was getting to the point where the Eagles were just going to get this until it was on the half-inch line. They weren't, again, trying to snap the ball. Now, the rule that he is invoking here, Jeff, do you remember which Cotton Bowl it was?
1954.
1954 Cotton Bowl. Was that the Alabama Rice?
There were, I believe so.
And that was the breakaway run from Alabama, right?
Yes.
So here's fun fact of the day. Rice, undefeated against Alabama, 3-0, including, I think it was a 28-6 win in the Cotton Bowl.
Non-power.
But a player from Rice came off the sideline, not in the play, and tackled the Alabama running back. And this rule, it's the only time that I know of it ever being invoked. The ref, it was going to be a clear path to the end zone.
Yeah.
They awarded the score. That's where I could see you could do this. In this situation, no.
It felt like they're still trying to make, they're trying to make a play.
Yeah, they're not doing it on purpose in the sense of, trying to go off sides.
Right.
They're trying to time this because this has been a play. What is the success rate on the Tush Push? Has it failed yet?
Pretty much no.
Okay, so you're doing everything you can possibly do to try to stop this. And everybody's like, well, if it's so good, everybody else would do it. No, they clearly have the personnel with that offensive line and Jalen Hurts, who, by the way, squats 600 pounds.
Well, and they run drink. They run it correctly as opposed to what the Bills do. The Bills just have the guys back there, and then they let Josh Allen try and move forward. You have Jalen Hurts, who sits back there, but then also gets pushed. So mm-hmm. You have 600 pounds of leg drive from the squat with Dallas Goedert pushing him forward. So it ends up being even more.
What does that do to Jalen Hurts' back?
I think that's a future Jalen Hurts problem. That's not a current Jalen Hurts problem.
No, current Jalen Hurts problem is his knee, but looked like his knee was fine as he was able to run for three touchdowns on 10 carries, of which he only ran for 16 yards because tush push of all things. One other thing about the Eagles in this game, I have to give Jalen Hurts a lot of credit and put my hands up and be like, my bad, I was not familiar with your game. We had the stat, Jeff Russ brought it to us on Friday. The Eagles were winless in the playoffs where Jalen Hurts was required or passed for more than 155 yards.
Yeah, 0-4.
0-4. That man let that ball go.
And now, and there were 3-0 when he threw for 155 or less. Fewer. Mm-hmm.
Which kind of highlighted Jalen Hurts' shortcomings as a passer. He had in the first half, he had that play to Devonta Smith on the sideline where Devonta does mm-hmm. the tip. But also, he was out of bounds. He was out of bounds on that play. They got up to the line and ran the play immediately.
Quick, yeah.
Yeah. He toe-tapped out of bounds. It doesn't change the game, but I thought, I was like, oh, that was... Well, why aren't you challenging that right there, Commanders?
What I think, too, where you got to see him take that step forward with the passing, when were most of his passes thrown?
Early and on play action.
They were early play action, and then in a couple of key spots, it was A.J. Brown one-on-one.
Yeah. Kellen Moore was in his bag of getting Jalen Hurts ready.
Or it was Dallas Goedert, right? Yeah. Like, everything was set up in a spot where it's a one-on-one, and it's man coverage, and your guy has to go beat the opposing man. And you have Dallas Goedert at tight end, who might be the most underrated tight end in football right mm-hmm. now. Like, people don't really talk about him as
He's very Dallas Clarke-y.
Well, he's just old school. Like, he's a South Dakota State jackrabbit. Yeah. He doesn't care. He's not flashy. He just finds ways to make winning plays, and he finds ways to get open when you need him to be open. He's not afraid to block. He's an old school tight end.
Goedert feels like a guy that should have gone to Iowa.
Right.
It's like, exactly. Iowa, how did you miss him?
He grew a couple inches in college. That's literally how they missed him.
He wasn't a punter.
He grew a couple, right, and I think he played eight-man football, if I remember the podcast I listened to about him correctly. But essentially, he went to Dallas Goedert and he went to A.J. Brown. two receivers and this one a tight end, but that were bigger than the men guarding them and were a little bit faster. And so you could throw the ball up to them in a spot where they could go get it. Not saying that they were easy throws. I mean, that fourth down throw that Hurts puts on A.J. Brown, where it's A.J. Brown and he's got, I think it's Lattimore who's his defender, mm-hmm. but it's basically for that fourth down where they get it and they go on, they score a touchdown, they get the fumble on the kickoff, and then they score again. He puts the ball in a perfect spot for A.J. Brown to catch it, but make no bones about it. A.J. Brown got open to a spot where Hurts had an easier throw than trying to throw him open. And I think that's where you saw the growth in this matchup. This Commanders defense was never all that good. They were about average, and they had done a good job of getting turnovers. You didn't turn the ball over, and your wide receivers and your tight end made plays in passing situations where it was an easy throw for Hurts. I think that's why that passing number is higher than it has been in the past.
Yeah, and it wasn't like he was getting monster chunk plays, but he was getting 20-yard chunk plays. And that mm-hmm. was, and that's what kind of kept things going and kept the Commanders off balance enough to where you start, and they did. They committed a ton to the run, and it didn't work out in their favor. And they got burnt in both ways. They got burnt on those chunk plays, and they got burnt by Saquon Barkley running the ball. And it wasn't like Barkley was out here, you know, pounding the rock all game long.
Mm-hmm.
It's 15 carries for a buck 20. Now, 60 of it came on one, but he's, even if you take that away, you go 14 carries for, what, 70 yards?
Pretty good.
Like, that's still a good day at the office.
And there was more out there. Like, he only had 118 because they called the dogs off. The last two drives, he doesn't even run the ball. It's all Shipley.
Yeah, and Shipley rips off a 57-yarder.
Yeah. Like, they literally called the dogs off in this spot because they knew they could and they knew they needed to get him his rest. And there's a reason why Dickerson stayed out and they're going to get him his rest. And Juergens, I bet you that dude doesn't practice until probably 2 days before the dang Super Bowl even starts.
Yeah, in a game where they ran for 240 yards, essentially, the time of possession was almost dead even because it wasn't a situation where mm-hmm. they were grinding it out. They were just being explosive and putting points on the board damn near every time down the field. I mean, you look at the box score as far as by quarter, 14, 13, 7, only 7 in the third, and then bums. 21 in the fourth.
Yep, and that's where the Commanders started having to go for it on fourth down, not getting it. Now you got short field.
Paying and then your ears back and making
the Eagles take advantage.
Yep,
and this is how the Eagles want to win football games. The Eagles are the wing T team in high school, where if they get the lead, you're in trouble because they're not going to give the ball back to you and they're going to run it down your face. I mean, there's an old saying for O-linemen, fat doesn't get tired. If I can lean on you and I can use mm-hmm. my strength and I can get you anywhere near the ground, you are eventually going to get tired as a defensive player because you have to do more than I have to do. You have to run to the ball. Mm-hmm. You have to, if I knock you down, you have to get up as quick as you can and run. I'm just going to lay there. I don't care. I'll get up slow. I just have to lean on you for 6 seconds every play, and eventually you are going to get tired and I'm going to win. And that's how the Eagles play. It's a fun change of pace where most teams are going, how can I spread everyone out? How can I find ways to get wide receivers open? How can I throw the football? And then you have the Eagles who have now zagged while everyone else is zigging, and they're going to try and beat you up with new school schemes, but in an old school mentality.
Yes, 100%. We'll get back to this game in a little bit, but next up it's time for our worst day on the web. And definitely don't put your drugs in the bag labeled not a bag of drugs. First, it's the Big Kahuna Sports Center Update.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Man, that sucks!
God bless Florida. Brevard County, Florida. Florida woman was arrested for the second time in less than 2 weeks after deputies discovered drugs in a bag labeled definitely not a bag of drugs.
Why does this keep happening? This is the second time we've done a show where we've had to talk about
it. Is
someone labeling a bag? Yeah.
And
definitely
then this lady did
drugs.
It twice within 2 weeks.
Yes,
she did it again.
She did it on January 6th. Taryn Ackery, was first arrested during a traffic stop when she was found with trafficking amounts of meth and was ultimately charged with trafficking meth, possession of methamphetamine, intent to sell, and possession of drug paraphernalia. She was released 2 days later on a $15,500 bond. Shout out that bondsman who got to cash in. On January 18th, a deputy and canine were on patrol when Acri was again pulled over in a vehicle. While she was a passenger, the driver consented to a vehicle search, believing nothing illegal was inside. However, deputies found meth, needles, Narcan, digital scales, small baggies, cut straws, and other drug-related items in Acri's possessions. Where are those drugs found? In a bag labeled, definitely not a bag full of drugs.
That driver's such an idiot. Like, oh, there's no drugs here. No, what do you mean? She has a bag and it says definitely not drugs. I checked her.
It's absolutely incredible. And here's the thing. If you get a look at said individual.
Oh, yeah.
It's straight out of central casting.
Oh, yeah. Faces of meth.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like her face might as well have a tattoo that says definitely not a bag full of drugs.
She's not popping up on mugshotties. Like, she's...
Hey, look, we don't kink shame here. Maybe somebody does.
She's not. I was on there today. She's not on there.
Oh, you're on there today?
Quality follow.
You like to peruse for anybody that might
I'd like
be
to make sure that
local.
Our I want to make sure that our law enforcement is keeping the streets clean from their shenanigans and then seeing who I can save.
Mm. Talk yourself into anyone today?
Not her. She can stay gone.
She doesn't look single mommy enough.
Yeah, you know, the meth ones you typically want to stay away from.
Yeah, like, you know what?
But look, petty theft, larceny, maybe some assault, just means maybe they like getting a little weird.
I typically stick to the loitering myself, but you're not getting the
good level.
Vandalism
no,
is
that's
okay.
Not the good level of crazy that you're looking for.
Like, I don't want crazy. I want
if you're going to mugshotties, you're not finding sane.
I want sane that made a bad decision in a weak moment.
That's well, go to BYU.
She's just subject to poor circumstances.
Tried.
It's not her fault.
Yes. It's the system.
Somebody,
it's not her.
Somebody else led her astray.
In my younger days, if you're perusing that particular world, you're looking for a little bit of crazy. You're not looking for the one misdeed.
A little.
No. The one misdeed you can find. You know, you find the girl that went to the Catholic school that got a tattoo. Like, that's,
bruh, are we
that's
not,
what you're looking for.
Are we not allowed to make mistakes in America anymore? I thought this was America.
No, certainly you are.
And you can make a mistake.
You can definitely save them. Look, and I'm just saying, the mistake you want them to make is probably some light assault.
No, because then I think they might assault me. And I don't want to be assaulted.
Yeah, guess what? Usually you have to pay extra.
Believe it or not.
Where'd you put that ball gag?
Exactly. Where did that come from?
Is this from an old guy movie and I'm missing it? Or are you guys just...
Well, I'm sure there's plenty of old guys in the movie.
Well, I was going to say, are you guys making references that I don't understand again?
The first part of it, no. The last part of it, yes. A little Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I've seen Pulp Fiction.
Yeah,
you're talking about Bruce... Okay.
That's where bringing up the gimp comes from. But no, the ball gag, well, when we get to the next commercial break, I'll explain where that comes from.
No, pretty, I don't. I
I'm
think
pretty
I'm good.
Effing far from okay.
I think I'm good. I don't need you to paint me a picture. I think I'm fine where I'm at. I'm gonna
like I said. This is never a show. It is kink friendly. We'll never kink shame here.
I am going to stay with the people that are smart enough
causing
to not
have
their
tweak.
Drugs in a bag labeled definitely not drugs. I'm going to stick with the...
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the people who have a hollowed-out space in their car.
The petty vandalism.
Look, I mean, you have the fake tire and the wheel well or the speaker jack. Like, there's so many better places to put your drugs.
Not to tell you where to put your drugs, but I feel like...
I'll tell you where to put them.
I think I've seen enough movies. Like, just put it in your trunk.
Well, no, you don't make it... quite so accessible. You put it in the trunk in a hollowed out place.
Or just underneath, like there's most cars have, you know, the spot for the spare tire. Just throw it in there.
Because nobody ever looks there.
The cops aren't gonna look.
First place they're gonna look, actually, Will.
Well, if the cop pulls you over for a traffic violation, they're not gonna look there.
Also, don't consent to a search.
They were pulled over for a traffic violation, were they not?
They were the passenger.
So, yeah.
Yes, yeah. The second arrest was because she was in a passenger and the driver got pulled over and did not know that said passenger...
For a traffic violation.
...had a bag that said... That was full of drugs.
Definitely
said,
not.
Definitely
drugs.
Not.
Also,
guys,
have you not seen Scarface? Don't get high on your own supply.
Well, I would imagine the person driving, who's driving with this person, not to make any assumptions or cast any aspersions.
Probably not necessarily terribly innocent themselves.
No, and I mean,
they said they didn't know.
I often
are you
don't
not going to take them for their word?
I often don't know if somebody who looks like that doesn't have a copious amount of Narcan. Look, responsible meth user has the Narcan in case the meth goes bad.
That was going to be a question that I asked as well. Are you going to be in trouble for having Narcan? Because isn't Narcan there to save you if you OD?
Yes.
So if I, like,
which is kind of like...
Yeah, but I think you're not supposed to just kind of be carrying that around loosely.
No, you can. Like they actually sell it hilariously. They sell it at the pharmacy at the front counter in Newburgh.
Y'all want to buy some drugs?
Like, so, do you want to save a life? Buy Narcan. It was like $20 or something.
I did notice
like
one of the last times I was waiting in line at the pharmacy, they had all of the various drug testing supplies and whatnot in the kits, and that are specific for like marijuana, cannabis, la cocaina, the methamphetamines.
I'm surprised they don't have like one that like runs the gamut. Like they're just like specific
just kind of all
ones.
Inclusive.
I'm like, yeah, like
yeah.
Buy one, get one free.
Yeah,
because
well,
they
like,
want because they want those people that have all of them in their systems to be have to you know have to spend all that capital.
Yeah, that's true.
Spend the capital on the drug test rather than the drugs.
You know what? I'm
a good way to stop
this
there
is
being
a,
drugs.
A bit of a pivot, but Suk has talked about when you know he knows he's gone. He's going to go out in international waters and and do all of the drugs. And I was like, I kind of want to be in that same headspace and then like have all of the different drug tests. And then take them afterwards and be like, you don't work. I very clearly have that in my blood right now.
Like, I've tricked you. I've beat
you're
you.
You're a bunch of phonies.
I
took all these drug tests. I got 100% on every one.
Just salute and fall face first into the ocean.
I have so many questions. And I don't think.
Go on.
Not just for you, but for also back to meth lady who keeps getting caught. Why wouldn't she change her MO? She already got caught with a bag that said definitely not drugs.
Did you hear what was in the bag?
Well, yes, again,
methamphetamine.
But shouldn't meth like help you like be more likely to do things?
Brother, no, I had
heroin
somebody,
makes you
I had
sleepy.
Somebody tell me that somebody was hacking into their phone.
From meth?
They were on meth and they're like, "Can't you see this? Can't you see this?" Like somebody like was like hacking their phone like in front of them.
Known well, on the bright side, it's just another reason not to do meth.
Maybe she should change course and buy a bag that says, guess what? This bag definitely has drugs.
Reverse
then they won't check it.
Well, I do appreciate that she had her bag of drugs ready for the officer. Just makes the search and seizure that much easier.
In my head, she had them in the backseat. Like, it was just sitting out there playing for everyone
purse.
To see. You think so? You think they're just, like, right there in the purse?
I'm going to hope it was in her purse.
Yeah.
I want it to be in the backseat.
Yeah. I mean,
I really hope it was in her purse.
Yeah. They'll just...
Oh.
Definitely not in the backseat.
Of the car.
Same. There's a lot of places you could put drugs.
I've heard.
The prison wallet?
I've seen Get Hard, Will Ferrell, Kevin Hart.
Yeah, make sure you tag that Will Ferrell on the end of that a lot faster next time.
It's a movie. They talk about it in the movie.
Good Lord.
That pregnant pause was almost your undoing, sir.
Yeah, I've no seen Edward Penis Hands.
I didn't know that I wasn't allowed to quote Will Ferrell movies out here anymore.
Oh, God.
This is ridiculous.
In the Woo. Break, we might need to see if that pause lets, because if there's too much airspace on that one,
it still wouldn't be the worst drop I have.
Fancy
here.
Moses,
no, it's a good spot to be.
Good Lord,
I can tell you what else. You know what else is a good spot to be? The Miami Heat, because boy, do we have some breaking news on just how great things are going from the Miami Heat and Jimmy Butler, Danny and Dusty, Tenney the Fan. The S Show that is the Miami Heat continues to spiral and spiral and spiral.
And you are just so upset about it.
It's you just, you hate to see it. Yeah, you hate to see it. According to ESPN's Shyam Charania, the Miami Heat are suspending Jimmy Butler indefinitely. Sources tell ESPN. What happened? Well, Jimmy Butler was in practice, and he was informed that he will no longer be starting in Hayward Highsmith, a name that sounds made up, will be starting in his place. To be fair, it does sound like, having watched the Portland Trailblazers beat the Miami Heat last week, it looked a lot like Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo were point shaving with the way they played. I'm really hoping that this sparks the Jimmy Timberwolves redux. I want to see him grab like an equipment guy, maybe a massage therapist, a doctor, maybe an intern, and go out there and beat the starting lineup by himself.
I don't know that he's able to do that anymore.
Oh, I think he is.
I think he's still in prime Jimmy Butler, got it in his bag like that?
Not prime, but I think he can still give him that. Like, when Jimmy wants to turn it on, he can still do it. He's not cooked yet.
Right, and I'm not disputing that. I think he has to pick and choose his spots, but also, don't you think that this Miami Heat starting five is a little bit better than that Timberwolves team?
No.
You
really,
don't?
Not really. I mean, you take a look at it, that Carl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, like, they're talented players. They just don't have it. Bam is a part of that starting lineup, and he's a little tuned out right now. As good as Harrow's been phenomenal, but the biggest dog in that room is still Jimmy.
Yes, not disputing that.
The Miami Heat have released a statement. Wow. From an organization that never talks to an organization that can't stop talking. The Miami Heat are, and Heat is in all caps, by the way. Miami is regular capitalization, but Heat, all caps. The Miami Heat are suspending Jimmy Butler without pay effective immediately for an indefinite period to last no fewer than five games.
Without pay.
To be fair, their handle on their Twitter account does also have Heat in all caps.
Oh, yeah, no. Yes. It's just.
They're the Miami
again,
Heat.
Yeah. It's fun.
Well, it's Heat culture.
There you go.
Yeah.
Heat.
The suspension is due to a continued pattern of disregard of team rules, engaging in conduct detrimental to the team, and intentionally withholding services. This includes walking out of practice earlier today. I find all of this very funny, as you can all tell, as I am rolling around in this. This is like Winnie the Pooh finding a bucket of honey.
Heat culture!
Love to see it. All of this is you didn't have to be Nostradamus to see this coming. That what's good for you is good for me situation, the hypocrisy of it all.
Mm-hmm.
This was always what was going to happen. And pretending otherwise is hilarious. Tim Bontemps of ESPN, old Timmy Goodtimes, who I like, was notoriously railing against the Trailblazers for not just getting the deal done with the Heat, taking what you can get. Well, on the latest Hoop Collective with Tim Bontemps and Brian Windhorst, he said the Heat are going to stand by and they're not going to just take some bad deal just because Jimmy wants to get it done. It's like, huh, that's interesting. What's different about this situation that was any different from the Trailblazers? Oh, that's right. The Miami Heat are a prestige franchise on the East Coast that get treated differently because Pat Riley's the godfather. Pretending that doesn't exist is foolish and stupid to begin with. But all of this is ultimately going to be funny when this leads to a scenario where Jimmy Butler is traded for pennies on the dollar. Because they're going to run into a situation. This is about the closest case we have to unstoppable force meeting an immovable object when you're talking about the egos of Jimmy Butler and Pat Riley.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think that this is going to stop with Jimmy Butler getting suspended, you are out of your bleeping mind. This man is not going to sit there and be like, you know what, Pat, you're right. I'm going to take this suspension on the chin for the next five games, and I'm going to forfeit another $2 million. What in Jimmy Butler's history makes you think that is going to be the case?
He's also the classic, like, as soon as it's over, I'm going to tear it down. I'm going to burn it down. And he has plenty of people that he can go to make sure that he gets his message out. I wonder if it is a little different this time because he's not just upset with the players. He's more upset with the coaching staff and more upset with, frankly, the front office. But even if he gets to go where he wants to go, it seems like he wants to go to Golden State.
No, Phoenix.
Phoenix?
Phoenix is the city. Yeah, it is the team, yeah.
Are they going to win anything now? Because isn't that what he always wants to go to? Like, does that instantly turn Phoenix into a legit title contender?
No, but I think he wants to go get paid. And that is the thing, is that the Phoenix Suns have signaled that they are going to get paid. Or the Phoenix Suns will pay him.
And he's in the last year of his deal.
Yes,
so
he has a $52 million option that is out there. And that's the toxic thing, in that Jimmy Butler can look at this and go, I'm going to take the option and waste another year for the Heat.
Mm-hmm.
And now they'll say, well, we'll just suspend you or this. The league is eventually going to step in. If you remember during the Damian Lillard trade saga, the league did actually step in. Mm-hmm. For a moment, and we're like, hey guys, we need you to knock this off and play like adults. And I think you're seeing the last of the bygone era of stars being able to demand trades at this level because of the way the new CBA is. And it's just a very, very interesting inflection point for where the league is and where the league will be in a couple of years. But mostly I'm just sitting back and pointing and laughing because it's fun.
And also, who really thinks that they're going to be able to beat Pat Riley?
Well, there is a belief that if anyone can, it's Jimmy.
If he digs his heels in long enough and he whines and cries long enough, he will win.
He has the ability to make it so, so, so very toxic.
I just like that he does it in a different way. Like, James Harden's like, I'll just get fat. And Butler's like, I'm going to make your life hell.
Which, it's a good place to be. All right, coming up next, Portland Trailblazers won 4 straight. Scared the living bejesus out of Jeff Rust. And
what in the world is going on?
And that's exactly what we're going to dive into, is the trade deadline is now 10 days and 6 games away here. Coming up in hour number 3 here on Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan.